We close the show today with a bit of weirdness from the band known as Ween. This is Ween's biggest hit, a 1993 single called Push the Little Daisies. If you missed out on their particular brand of absurdity, Ween has been entertaining the inner juvenile in a great many of us since the 1980s, back when they were juveniles themselves. They formed the band as high school kids in New Hope, Pennsylvania. Since then, Ween has been compared to rock's original eccentric, Frank Zappa, proving that expert musicianship and a sense of humor need not be mutually exclusive. And if they're comedians lyrically, then musically, they're chameleons. Any given Ween album can contain reggae jams or progressive rock space outs or a country western hoedown. Learning to live. Now Ween is back with a new CD called La Cucaracha. Founding members Dean and Gene Ween joined me from Los Angeles, and I first asked why they named themselves Ween. Were they using the Middle English word, meaning to think or believe? Perhaps it was taken from a work of Orwell or Asimov.
It was a cross between wuss and peen, if I remember correctly. And at 15 years old, it seemed perfect.
Yeah. Right, and I never thought we'd have to answer for that name, for the name, at 37 years old.
Well, you guys grew up being Ween, and different things are funny to a 15-year-old than to a 37-year-old, right?
But if you listen to our records, I mean, it's pretty much just, you know, any given Ween record will just be about where we're at in our life. This new record approaches subjects like having fun with your wife at the party. Probably couldn't have written about when we were 15.
We've always joked about, you know, how Paul McCartney and Neil Young, you know, write songs about their wives and their dogs, you know, all of a sudden in their country homes. And I think this is like a preemptive strike. Songs like Your Party.
We're trying to do it to them
before it happens to us, actually.
Spices and tri-colored pastas. The meat carved was drawn from succulent juices, served on platters of the purest gold.
And you even have smooth jazz saxophonist David Sanborn on this song. Was he in on the joke here?
Well, I don't think there is really a joke.
I mean, when push comes to shove, we do take our songs seriously. You know, this isn't all just us sitting there giggling into a little microphone. So we took Your Party as serious as a heart attack when we were recording it.
I remember when Aaron brought it to the studio. That's Gene Ween.
I see.
You know, it was like a Thursday night, and you played it for me, and it sounded like something from Year of the Cat by Al Stewart. You know, it didn't start at all like a smooth jazz thing. And then we recorded the demo of it that night, and it sounded like the Chili Peppers, and it was sort of all wrong, but we knew the song was good. We kind of just kept working with it, and we kept sort of smoothing it out. You just sort of let the song, you know, guide you, you know, and do what's best to serve it. That's when the best songs happen, I think, you know. When you start without any point of reference and it just sort of happens. You make something along the way by accident.
All right, I want to talk about another song here. Let's just play this. The song is called Fiesta. I was trying to describe this song to somebody, and I called it a mariachi orgy.
There's a really simple reason for this song's existence. And we bought this Roland keyboard that has all of these horn sounds on it that are some of the best and worst horns, like obviously fake horn sounds, and it like inspired three or four different songs.
I mean, you can actually hear that vibrato, that blah, 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 you can hear it going faster on the upper notes and slower on the lower notes, like an old Casio keyboard. And I read that for this album, you actually didn't use any standard recording techniques. And you also weren't in a studio either. You weren't in some like hermetically sealed soundproof box.
No, we were in our old farmhouse that we rent.
Which moldy old farmhouse.
Yeah, that's what I read, that you were scared to touch your children after.
I'm still having respiratory problems from it, I think. What
does it look like? Why do you record there if you end up with spores in your lungs?
Because we have no choice.
It looks like something out of a horror movie. The paint is peeling and there's cobwebs. And when we first came in and got the heater working, bats flew out of all the chimneys. The roof was leaking, so there was black mold. You know, it was horrible, and that's basically where we worked for 2 years, 5 days a week.
Think it's easy being in Ween? It's not easy being in Ween.
And while you guys were in this old ramshackle house, you wrote 50 songs before deciding which ones would go on the CD. There are only 13 on this CD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a bloody mess. Yeah.
How'd you decide what to go on the album?
It happens the same way every time. It's, you know, we work very closely with our producer, Andrew Weiss. He's been producing us since we were teenagers. And he says, okay, what songs are on everybody's definitely not list? Immediately we'll eliminate, like, you know, whatever, a dozen, 15 songs. And it's like, okay, what songs are on everybody's definitely yes list? The maybe list is always the biggest part. The final step of the process is figuring out which songs work the best together as a whole album. And then the album sort of reveals itself.
Well, I mean, in this day and age, you could just release them all. I mean, what's the problem?
Yeah. That's a good point.
I think we're very old-fashioned about our albums. I don't think bands are as album-oriented anymore. I think it's like the age where people go to iTunes and get their two favorite songs. You know, I think we come from more of the idea of the album as a whole, you know, the sequence and the flow of it and the artwork and all that. I mean, I still miss vinyl LPs, so I'm kind of a dinosaur.
Dinosaurs at 37.
Totally.
Mickey Melchiondo and Aaron Freeman, better known as Dean and Gene Ween. Thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As she bounces through the blue sky, everybody's building up a big blue balloon. Made the string from fairy wings and golden dreams. See how high it goes. No one knows about the blue balloon.
You can hear a few songs off Ween's new CD at npr.org/music. Now, these parting words today from another great absurdist surrealist, Salvador Dali. He said, those who do not want to imitate anything produce nothing. That's All Things Considered from NPR News for today. I'm Andrea Seabrook. Have a great week.